In 1947, You Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx, premiered on ABC Radio. On this day in 1967, Expo 67 closed in Montreal. And in the year 2002, Dallas Cowboys running back Emmitt Smith broke the NFL career rushing yardage record of 16,726 yards held by Walter Payton. Smith finished his career with 18,355 yards rushing. So those are some of the events that have taken place on this day in history. The weather for Wausau today, sunny, with a high near 51. Tonight, mostly clear, with a low around 33. Wednesday, partly sunny, with a high near 55. Right now in Wausau, with freezing fog, it's 31 degrees at 8:59. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. We are studying the book of Romans, and we come today to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a copy of Scriptures, of the Bible, please open it up to Romans chapter 10 and follow along. I think you'll find that you get more out of these studies if you can look at your own copy of Scripture. And we come to Romans chapter 10, verse 1, which reads, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." You know, Israel was under the dominion of Rome as Paul wrote this letter. So it would have been good if they would have been set free. That would have been a good thing too. Many things are good, but only one thing is best, and that's being saved from hell. And so more than anything else, the apostle wanted his fellow Jews to be saved from hell. And verse 2, "For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." So, you know, his fellow Jews were very religious, but it was all a big waste of time because their religion was contrary to Holy Scripture. Verse 3, "Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness," meaning they didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe it, even though they had it. They didn't believe the word of God, which offered to give them the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result, they settled for a man-made substitute righteousness, which never does the job. Verse 4. "Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." There may be righteousness for everyone who believes. God isn't picky about who he saves. God will give anyone who believes in Christ and as a result receives him as Lord and Savior, God will give that person, no matter who they are, no matter what they have done, a righteousness that will get them into heaven. 5. "Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them." In other words, you can obtain righteousness through the law of God. Sure, you can do it. I'll tell you how you have to do it. It's what Paul says right here. You can obtain righteousness through the law. All you have to do is keep it perfectly and never do one thing wrong from the second you are born until the second that you die, and you can earn salvation that way. See? That's all there is to it. Nobody ever does it, but if somebody would do it, that's how it could be done. 6. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. In other words, God is not a distant God who has left us to guess about how to be saved. 7. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. We don't have to go looking for God. God has been reaching out to us through His Word and through His Son. Verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith we are proclaiming. The Word of faith is the Word of God. We can accept the Bible by faith because the one who spoke it cannot lie and cannot change his mind. And here it is, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and of course anyone can say Jesus is Lord. Even the unsaved person can say that, but a saved person says it and means it and wants it to be true in their life because they know that Christ died to pay for their sins and was raised by the Father 3 days later to prove that his death did indeed pay for those sins. 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified. Salvation begins in the heart. It is a firm conviction that Christ is Savior and Christ is Lord, and that you're trusting Him for your salvation. Salvation begins in the heart. And if a person's faith is genuine, they're going to express it with their words and, as other scriptures teach, with their actions as well. 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll never regret it. No Christian is a loser. No Christian ever regrets becoming a Christian. If they do, well, then they've fallen away from God. And it's a gradual thing, but they've fallen away from God to the point where they love their sin more than they love Jesus Christ, or they were never saved to begin with. Because the Bible says, no one who trusts in Christ will be ashamed. If you continue with Jesus till the end, you're not going to be sorry that you did it. 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. God has no favorites. God has no pets. There's one Savior for all people, and He is Jesus. Jews need Jesus. There is no other way for the Jews to get to heaven, as Mr. Hagee, the heretic, says. Jews need Jesus. Gentiles need Jesus. 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, God's not picky. But notice, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and logically it follows that anyone, Jew or Gentile, who doesn't call upon the name of the Lord for salvation will not be saved. Salvation is for everyone, but only those who trust Christ get it. 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The Word of God needs to be proclaimed by every modern means available, or people will not hear the message of salvation through the cross of Christ, and then they can't believe, and then they won't be saved. You know, the devil is using every form of media to capture souls for hell today. He's very busy. And the church needs to counter it with the Word of God. 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It is nice when someone who is called by God to preach and teach the Word of God has people who send him. In other words, it's nice to have the prayerful and the financial backing of Christians who want to help spread the Word of God. 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Now, some first century Jews recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, but not all, and really not even most. Most rejected him. 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Faith is based on the Word of God, or it's not faith. If God hasn't said it, or God hasn't promised it, one cannot accept it by faith. You can't. Sometimes people mistakenly believe that faith is a leap in the dark. I mean, even Christians. They think about doing something goofy. Well, I'm going to move out to California without a job. You know? Or I'm going to buy this house even though I can't afford the payments. But I'm going to do it by faith. That doesn't have anything to do with faith. That's stupidity. And it's presumption. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is trusting in what God has said in His Word. Faith is trusting that God's Word is true and acting on it. Faith is based on the Word of God. Or it's not faith. 18. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Talking about the Jews here, their voice has gone out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world, speaking of the Word of God. Israel had the Word of God. From the very beginning, they had the Word of God. Plus, when Jesus started his ministry, he preached the Word of God exclusively to the Israelites. And the early church preached and ministered exclusively to the Israelites. So there's no question about it. Israel had the Word of God. But they didn't combine it with faith. 19. Again I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. Israel understood the Word of God. They simply rejected it. But the Gentiles, who never had the Word of God, they believed the message about Jesus, and as a result were saved. And that was God's attempt, actually, to make the Jews jealous. Because suddenly, they were no longer God's people. Rather, the Gentiles who were receiving Christ were God's people. 20. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And that's speaking of the Gentiles. God reached out to the Gentiles, a people who were merrily on their way to hell. And God invited them to receive Christ and be saved, and many did. You know, if God didn't graciously seek us, we would never seek after Him. 21. But concerning Israel, He says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God doesn't give up easy. All day long, He says, holds out His hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. He doesn't give up easy. He will extend His offer of mercy to a sinner for as long as He possibly can, right up until the moment of their death. No matter how many times one rejects Christ, God's arm is still extended in friendship. Chapter 11. I ask then, did God reject His people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God didn't reject Israel. Most of them rejected Him when they rejected His Son. 2. God did not reject His people, whom He foreknew. Don't you know what the Scripture says in the passage about Elijah? how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what does God's answer? And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And then verse 5 says, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. God has always had a faithful remnant of Israelites who were truly his people. And that's what it's always been, a remnant. And once again today, that's what God has. God has a remnant of Jews who have chosen to follow him by receiving his son, Jesus Christ. And that remnant is chosen by God, by God's grace, and by God's grace or his favor, they are saved. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. This is a very, very important verse. I mean, it all boils down to this. One either attempts to earn God's favor by their good works, maybe by giving to charity, or even by going to church. People either attempt to earn God's favor for salvation, or they accept it as a gift by God's grace. But it has to be one or the other. It can't be both. It can't be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. 7. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened. And so, those who try so hard to be saved by doing good deeds do not obtain it. Many people love to think that they're good enough, that God will be so impressed with their religious activity and their good works that he will save them. They're impressed with themselves, so they naturally figure God is impressed with them also. Their pride makes their heart hard to the point where they won't even dream of ever acknowledging that they are depraved and in need of a Savior. Are you kidding? With all these good works that I do, me? Need a Savior? Me? Not being able to save myself? That's what they think. 7. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear, to this very day. When a person despises the truth, God will eventually blind them spiritually so that they can't even recognize the truth any longer. It's just a natural consequence. It happens. That's why it's dangerous to reject the truth that you know is truth. 9. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. May their backs be bent forever? In other words, they will pay for their willful rejection of Christ and their willful rejection of truth in general. Their backs will be bent forever. In other words, there's not going to be any relief from the suffering that they will endure because of their sin. So those who don't think that they need a Savior will have eternal suffering to remind them that they are wrong. Their pride made them wrong. It's 9:17. Time for our break. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Frogs that can hang out in the freezer. Get the details next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Good In previous Creation Moments programs, we have told you about frogs that produce antifreeze in the winter. But the wood frog is the absolute champion at surviving below freezing temperatures. Most frogs that survive northern winters cannot withstand more than a few degrees below freezing before they begin to suffer cell damage. Researchers placed wood frogs in an industrial freezer where they became stiff and hard on the outside and partially liquid on the inside. The frogs' metabolism stopped and they became brain dead. When they were thawed out, they returned to life as if nothing had ever happened. Frogs avoid cell damage caused by the formation of ice crystals by generating glucose, a highly effective antifreeze. Other species of frogs produce glycerol, a less effective type of antifreeze. However, the levels of glucose generated by the wood frog would cause cell damage in most other frogs. But these frogs limit the damage by shutting off their metabolism. What's more, should the wood frog suffer any cell damage by ice crystal formation, its blood contains a special fibrogen that seals any leaks in its cell walls. It is unlikely that these different systems would evolve perfectly all at the same time. The wood frog is an example of a creature where everything had to work perfectly the first time, a testimony to our Creator.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
With freezing fog, it's 31 degrees in Wausau at 9:19. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. We're in Romans chapter 11. And we resume our study in verse 11, which reads, "Again I ask," and this is referring to the Jews, "did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious." The they, as I mentioned, are the Jews. The Jews, in general, didn't accept Christ. But many Gentiles did. So God is actually accomplishing two things. He is saving Gentiles who come to Christ, and in the process, he is making some Israelites jealous of the saved Gentiles, because they have displaced the Jews as God's chosen people. Verse 12, "But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring?" In other words, if God is using Israel's rejection of their Messiah to do something as wonderful as save Gentiles, just think what God will do when the Jews wake up and receive Christ as their Messiah. And if he can use bad, how much more is he going to use good? 13. "I'm talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry." And he did. Paul's mission was for the most part to get the word of God to the Gentiles. That was the Lord's design for Paul. And he worked at it as hard as he could. And I'm sure he did it for the glory of Jesus Christ, because he had such a desire to see lost souls saved. But he had another reason for working so hard for the Gentiles too. And that's found in verse 14. "In the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them." In other words, by seeing the Gentiles get saved and experience all the holiness and peace and joy that comes from God, Paul was hoping to create a hunger in the Jews for what those saved Gentiles enjoyed. 15. "For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Talking about how when the Jews finally recognize that they murdered their Messiah and they repent, and that is going to happen. Jesus says, "I will not return until you," and he's talking about the Jews, "say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," meaning until you recognize that I'm your Messiah. And when they do, this world is going to be transformed by the Lord's return. Tremendous blessing. 16. "If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches." what's better, a little sample of the harvest or the whole harvest? What's better, a taste or a whole plate full of food? And likewise, what's a greater blessing for this world? A few Jews being saved or the whole works? Good times are coming when God's Old Testament people see the error of their ways and repent. Verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others. Let me read that again. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been broken in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Let's just stop there for a second. He begins this, what would you call it? It's a comparison. He talks about the branches of this tree. And the branches in this little story refer to people who are connected to God's tree of salvation. Some of the Jewish branches were broken off and replaced with Gentile branches, okay? So let's read 17 and 18 together. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, talking to the Gentiles, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. In other words, Gentile Christians should not look down on the Jewish race, because the Jews and their ancient relationship with God are the roots of God's salvation tree. There would be no tree of salvation for Gentiles to be branches of if it wasn't for the Jewish roots that tree feeds from. I mean, after all, the Savior himself is Jewish. 19. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Verse 20, granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. The Jews who do not believe in Christ are pulled out of the tree of salvation. Gentiles who believe in Christ are placed into God's tree of salvation. Comes down to faith. Faith in Christ. 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. In other words, don't think you're special. He's saying, don't think you're special because you're in God's salvation tree, and don't become arrogant about it. That's what happened to the Jews. That's exactly what happened to them. They became spiritually arrogant because they were known as God's people. And they began thinking that they were saved because they were so much better than everyone else. Their arrogance destroyed them, and arrogance will destroy any Gentile, too, who stops trusting Christ and begins to depend on their own supposed goodness. So it's a warning here. Don't let that happen. 22. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. God's kindness is this. He is willing to save unworthy sinners who trust in the death of Christ. That's his kindness. God's sternness is this. Don't think you're smart. And don't start thinking that you're good enough to be saved, or you'll lose that salvation. You'll be cut off. 23. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. See, like I said, it's all about faith. If unbelieving Jews start trusting Christ, God will save them. 24. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So, you know, Israel has a long history with God. And so if God can save Gentiles through Christ, Gentiles who up until 2,000 years ago had to convert to Judaism to be saved, If God can save Gentiles, then God for sure can save repenting Jews who turn to Christ. I think we'll stop right there. We covered a lot of ground today. We'll pick it up in verse 25, and then we'll go into the practical section of Romans, which is chapter 12. We'll do that next time. If you have any questions for me or comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, go to my website, the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which can be found at meret.org. That's meurett.org. You can study the entire Bible online with my audio Bible commentaries, and of course, always free. It's there for you. Take advantage of it. I would think that if you have a hunger for the Word of God, this would be very helpful to you. Again, that web address is meurett, meurett.org. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. And so until tomorrow morning, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone. You're listening to WN.